Why are we here? No, I'm having some kind of existential crisis. I mean, why are we here tonight? In this church, at this service? Why do we pray? Why do we give things up for Lent? Why do we help those in need? I think if we were to go around the room and ask everyone the answer to this question, most of the answers would be fairly similar. And I think they'd mostly have God as the focus. But I wonder, if we were to really examine ourselves and look into our own hearts, would the answer be something else? Sometimes, would it be something we were much less willing to admit? It could be quite easy to look at tonight's reading and almost cast it to one side. Jesus says in verse 1, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them." Okay, well, that's no problem. I don't practice my righteousness to be seen by others. In verse 2, "So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honoured by others." Okay, no trumpets, no problem. And in verse 5, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others." I've never stood on a street corner praying aloud. So that's that one checked off. And then in verse 16, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting." No facial disfigurement. I don't think we need to worry about that one. But perhaps it's not quite so simple. Jesus says that these hypocrites have already received their reward in full. Why? Because they've taken these good things, these things that should be about God, and they've made them about something else. They've made them about themselves. I wonder whether sometimes we're guilty of doing the same thing. If we really examine our own motives, might it be the case that some of the things that we claim to do for God are actually more about our own selfish desires, and sometimes we lie about ourselves to our motivations. But Jesus doesn't just give us a list of things not to do. He follows each one up with how we should act, the way God wants us to work out our faith. If we look at verse 3, Jesus says, "But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret." In verse 6, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen." And verse 17, "But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen." Do we notice the common thread here? To keep things private. To keep them between ourselves and God. The secrecy here, the privateness with which Jesus commands us to practice our faith, it's not about hiding our relationship with God from the world, but it's about entering into a space in which we can, with humility, make it completely about God. By doing this, rather than inflating our own ego, we respond to the love of God with love. We make him our priority, and we allow something beautiful to blossom, a relationship. When we drop the act, when we stop the hypocrisy, and just come to God honestly and humbly, we are rewarded with a wonderful relationship with him. Towards the end of our reading, Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The reality is that what we value is a good indication of where our heart is. If we value the praise of others above God, then our hearts are in the wrong place. If we value anything above God, our hearts are in the wrong place. If, instead of storing up the praise of others, we spend time quietly growing in a relationship with God, then our heart is in the right place. God wants us to value him above all. He wants our hearts to be for him. He clearly has a heart for us. He's written us the greatest love letter ever written. It's right here. He sent Jesus to die on a cross so that we could spend eternity knowing his love for us. He's given us a great invitation of an eternal relationship, and he wants us to respond. He wants us to respond by making him our priority, making him the reason why we do the things that we do. He wants us to respond to his love by loving him back. So the challenge for us is this. When we go home this evening and we pray before we go to sleep, or when we wake up tomorrow and continue with our Lent fast, or when we see somebody that needs our help, we need to ask ourselves a question. Why? Why are we doing this? And if the answer is for God, then that is amazing, and we should be so thankful for that. But if the answer is anything else, then it's time for a change. It's time to ask God to transform our hearts into hearts that are for him and not for ourselves. It won't necessarily be easy. It means being honest with ourselves, and that can be painful. But the reward is growing in a relationship with God, a God who loves us. And what could be more wonderful than that? Amen.